Well, the last time we talked, we were sort of actually finishing up, but I was asking you some questions about in what ways your life would be different if you were a young woman today.
Mm-hmm.
And just like that. I was wondering how you feel about the women's movement, the Equal Rights Movement, ERA.
Oh, well, of course, I feel very strongly about it. I think that the women have been sort of been put down at work compared to men.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the salary, mm-hmm. Salaries. I think maybe sometimes. Like Phyllis Schlafly, I've heard her a couple of times. We all know who she is. She said that might involve women going into the service, so that I don't agree, and yet I don't disagree. All right, well, the answer is yes, I agree with what they're thinking of and wanting to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in one restroom for men and women, if that sounds silly, but sometimes you hear snide comments on that, but definitely I think I have felt the difference sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what kind of ways have you felt the difference?
I told you a long time ago when I worked in Lockheed that I went to one of the supervisors and I was going to put in a grievance because this woman who was hired after we were, I think I was making 90 or 95 cents an hour, which I earned. I got my automatic raises, but I had to earn that, of course. And I imagine, like now, which I found at a different jobs too, that when they have new hirings, and sometimes the cost of living, which years ago they didn't think like that I know of. Even when I worked at Mattel, for example, this is the way I talk. I don't always give a direct answer. So if it isn't pleasing to you or helpful, just tell me. But I talk sort of, I get to my point right away. One thing leads to another. I kind of think out loud. So is that all right? When I started to work for Mattel, I got $75 a week, which I was fine. And a couple of years later, soon after, the people hired that did exactly what I did about that thing, too. But a little bit later, maybe two or three years later, in fact, a little bit more than that, one girl that didn't even have experience in a lot of us, she was hired on as $100 a week, and we said, my goodness, and all that. But then we had to be told and realized that, yeah, but it's different when you were hired. So, years ago, when this woman was hired, and they started her out with, I don't remember exactly what they started her out with, but it seemed like, that we heard that she was getting exactly what we were getting. When I see we the few people that I knew that was getting what I was, that's when I went to, in fact, I was telling my lead man, and that's as far as I knew around me, they were lead men, and he says, they didn't put in a grievance. And so I went to the supervisor, whoever I was told to go to, and he's the one who said, if I put in a complaint, it'll go against me.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I was scared stiff. What I mean by scared, well, God, I wanted to go against me. So I don't know exactly how I felt. It's kind of like, hey, didn't expect that answer.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to me, thinking about it many times after that, I think if I was a man, he wouldn't have said that to me. Or even thought that, because he was not an Indian man, or he was management. But so I look back and think of it as he wouldn't have said that to me if I was a man.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering that made me think about this during the war, about working with the tools and things. Did you ever take, say, the mechanical stuff and use it in your home? Do you ever fix things and stuff, or is it?
Well, Well, see, what I did was, I'm the kind of, even before I would tighten screws sometimes, I don't fix things, but my husband did things, and he always did things, but sometimes he wouldn't do them as soon as I asked him, thought asking to think about doing it soon, and I could change the plate. I won't fool around with under the play the switch plate. You asked me a question, I'll give you a direct answer. What I did, I actually couldn't use at home, because I used a drill, and I can still pick up a drill, and I think through the years, I never had a drill, but my husband, of course, always had a drill. One time I picked up the drill to start drilling something that I was trying to help him with. He said, don't do it. He said, you don't know how to do it. I said, well, maybe I don't, but I will. But a couple of weeks ago, I won some more hooks on my ceiling. So I said, gee, why can't I do it? And so I have the drill, and I brought the drill in from the garage, and I was going to do it. And then I have other things to do. My daughter's boyfriend, who is a carpenter, he's supposed to come down maybe next week and do that. But I was willing to do it because I think a drill I could handle. But what else did I do? I used to buck rivets, you know, and cut out pieces of metal, like patch it and stuff like that. But what I did actually wasn't helpful at home, except for if I had to use a drill.
So you're saying even before that, if something you did fix it, and you felt...
Oh, yeah. I've taken the vacuum cleaner apart and put, I haven't taken the motor, the workings apart, but I'll open something to look into. I have a clock that I'll open, take this out, move this, as long as I can see where to put it back. When it comes to where I won't remember, then I'll stop. Mm-hmm. I am not actually mechanically inclined, but the little things that anybody can do, I'll replace a washer. I won't take the whole faucet off, even though I've seen how to do it on TV. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Looking back on the war years and that the jobs that you had during the war, do you have any maybe general reflections on how did that change your life at all to work during the war?
Well, we can all, it must have. Don't you think everything we do? I think it must have because, I think I made a comment that when I went to work with so many different kinds of people, the work that I've done before was with people and maybe lived in my neighborhood or around there, or I associated, or I talked, never mind the association, but I talked to people that were more, I wouldn't say, what the word is, or maybe we had more in common, you know, things like that. But when I went to work in the war, you touched people from all walks of life, or not all walks of life, sounds funny, from different parts of the country. That's the part, I met people that really came from the farm. I came from a small city at back east, but yet it wasn't that small. So we were near Boston, a big city. So, and people that talked about the queers and talked about their pride. What amazed me mostly is the way people talked so much about their personal lives. I mean, I'm not saying we all talk to a certain extent about our personal lives, to certain people, but the strangers, what I call strangers, and the details they tell you. I'm not talking about sex as much as if your brother or husband or somebody was in jail. Maybe now I would tell people, you know, I knew certain people, but years ago I wouldn't. The things that people would talk about. Personal. To this day, I know I can't get over that. Mm-hmm. As far as it must have changed my life. Don't you think everything we do changed our life?
Did you view that as I mean, at the time, did it feel like, did it represent any kind of opportunity or change that you think you wouldn't have had if there weren't a war, or?
Well, I don't know.
Or maybe not so much if there were a war, but if there, if those jobs hadn't been there.
Could you repeat the question again?
Well, did it seem then to you that it was a special kind of opportunity, or was it just another?
Oh, no. No, it wasn't another job, because in a way it's kind of frightening. It was, what are you going into, and it's something that's so different than what I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I used the thought of it as an opportunity.
Yeah,
no, that's okay. That's fine, but yeah. No, I don't. I know I didn't think it was an opportunity. I probably might have thought about it as a challenge. In those days, it's funny, I didn't think of, oh, it's a challenge. I've got to do it no matter what. I was thinking of, why did I go into it? Remember, because I had to pay more money.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, it's back down in there, you're glad you're doing something for the war, you know, but. And I was patriotic, but I didn't do it because, oh, I'm patriotic, I want to do it for the war. And I imagine if it paid less, I probably wouldn't even try to, mm-hmm. I'd try to get in, be honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
Then, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Have you, I just want to inquire, in general, have you had any health problems?
Well, I don't really think so. I had a heart attack in 1968.
Mm-hmm.
My heart's supposed to be good. No, I've always been in good health.
Mm-hmm.
I have an underactive thyroid,
mm-hmm.
which I take a pill, will take one for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel anything, results, I don't feel that, I don't feel good, it's my thyroid. No, so I don't, in fact, I bumped the Kaiser, and they give you a thorough checkup,
mm-hmm.
and they found that I had underactive thyroid. So they told me to take a pill, I take a pill. I don't think that has affected me knowingly.
Mm-hmm.
They say you don't have as much energy when you don't. I have as much or as little energy as I had when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
I say I'm in good health.
Yeah. What was menopause like for you?
Well, that's funny. I've been very fortunate in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had trouble with my period all my life. By having trouble is that I had them around 28 days, but some, I don't remember, 29, 30, something a little bit early. But not, most of the time I had cramps,
mm-hmm.
where if I had a date or went to school, sometimes, depends on just when the worst part is, sometimes I had to stay out of school.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I had terrible pains. I used to take Midol. And some time a month would go by, and it would be okay. So, but when I got married, not so much when I got married. After I had my son, they eased up an awful lot. Instead of having pains, I feel like I just want to stay home, but I didn't have pains. So, and after I had my son. They eased up as far as the discomfort. I had more discomfort than pain.
Mm-hmm.
As far as menopause, I got married in 1952 again, and around that time, 50, 51, 52, my periods were, sometimes I wouldn't have periods for a while,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes when I have periods, it felt kind of heavy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And one time, so it led up to menopause. I couldn't tell you the exact month that I stopped.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been, it was in the 50s, the late 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And it just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
It was gradual, but I mean, I never had to take, I went to a doctor, but no, I never went to a doctor as regular. When he was watching me as far as my bleeding so much at times. And when I was married one time, and I was going to him, and I didn't have my period for a while, but I was pretty sure I wasn't pregnant. anyhow, he gave me something and see if I was pregnant, and if I can't tell exactly why. I just was so positive I wasn't pregnant because my periods were so regular. And then after that, but I had my period came and I bled a lot, and then it gradually just stopped. And so that's when I was seeing that doctor. And he never had to give me any estrogen or anything. So I'm very fortunate. And it just seemed like that's it. I don't think I remember having many hot flashes, if at all. I've been fortunate in that respect.
How did you feel
about
it?
Glad, I guess. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the pulling a lot sometimes. Mm-hmm. I probably thought that I eventually would have to take something. Mm-hmm. You know. And I was hearing, and before and after, and I know in the family where some people go through an awful lot mentally. Mm-hmm. I don't say maybe if I was ever depressed, maybe it was related to menopause. I don't know. You know, I really don't know.
Mm-hmm. What kind of, talk to you basically about your life up to now. What kinds of things you have planned from here?
From now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a little plans. I don't know how I'll carry it through. I've been sort of waiting, I mean, since my husband died, right? Well, I think since my husband died, I've been sort of waiting to get things settled. You know, what they're settled, you know, get some insurance and Social Security, get my taxes paid this week, get the income tax. Then I was going to go back east, which I am next month. Then, and so I've been hanging around the house, which is nice, and I go out a little bit with my friend during the day, but I feel like sometimes like I'm a lost soul, and I know that. I want to say one thing though. I was feeling kind of like that before my husband even got very sick too. Okay. However, when I come back, I know that I've got to either work part time. I don't want to work 5 days. And I don't want to go into sewing. See, that might be a problem. I don't want to go back into sewing. Or if I can get a job, maybe 2 days a week, do some volunteer work. I still would like to, like, volunteer. I just had to play cards with some women. So it's okay. The women are fun. Nice. But that's only, that isn't, so I don't know, later on, I don't know. Played by ear. I'd like to go to school a little bit. Mm-hmm. I might decide I don't even want to go to work. I might decide that be home. But when I say be home, not go out and I say punch a clock. But yet I'd want to do something like belong to something like we talked about, a club that even if I just sat and listened, you know, some people that talk, that do something worthwhile. I feel awfully useless. But I feel, like I said, I was feeling that way before, now more so.
You said you were feeling that way even before?
Yeah. I was home more, you know, I wasn't, my husband really got sick in 1980, off and on, he had this or that, February 1980. I told you I was laid off in July. Therefore, I was glad that I had the time spend more with him, and he had a very good summer, and it was nice to worry about finishing the sewing and this and that. But a lot of days, but see, we were now more during the summer. My granddaughter was here, so we took her out a lot. In fact, he felt better than I did. We went to Universal City. I'm the one that got sick, but he got me, didn't get him. But we didn't go out every day, you know, I was worried about him because, you know, I figured he'd be going back to work. And I knew that I wouldn't be going back to the way I worked, so I was kind of thinking on the same lines as, yeah, I got to find something, either a part-time job or a job or volunteer work or a club that's worthwhile. And, of course, I used to say after the holidays, and because he was hoping, around September anyway to go back to work. He hoped around January or something like that. It was always later. See, I'm a, and also... I always find a reason to be later to later on. And incidentally, I was going to a psychiatrist, or I don't think she's a psychiatrist now. But I decided to, well, my son didn't talk me into it, but sometimes I talk that way to him, and so anyhow, I the South Bay Free Clinic here. Mm-hmm. And so I called, and I met this woman, young woman. She came in with her, she goes to Harbor, I think she puts time in Harbor College. Mm-hmm. And I go to see her once a week, and we talk a lot of things. It helped me. It helped me to even like myself. And I didn't tell everybody, though. How can you tell people I felt? You know.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to understand a lot of things about myself. You know.
Mm-hmm. So you felt good about
me? Well, I didn't change a lot. I changed, I kind of, to a certain extent, I'm always like sort of defending my way of thinking. I mean, when I talk to people, always I'm on the defensive as far as even when I give an opinion. Well, I guess maybe, I don't know if it's good enough. I've always sort of been a little humble. It's so hard to explain how I think I've been. Always, sometimes I always say I apologize. I'm always apologizing for living. It just doesn't, to me, explains a lot. And why I do certain things, and I expect a lot from people. I don't expect that people should do a lot for me, but I can't understand always how people can be certain ways, you know, that I'm not, you know. And so it's good to talk to someone. My husband, I could talk to my husband about a lot of things. And sometimes when I talk about, you know, how can they be this? Well, you know, he says, that's where they are and stuff like that. Well, yeah, I know. But it bothered me because it bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
So it helped to talk to her. And I saw her for a while, and then I saw her at the South Bay Free Clinic, and now for some reason she's not going to put any time there. So I have to call up, and I'm going to see her at Harbor. And I keep on putting off calling her back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I said, well, what, next week and the week after, and then now she'll be out, probably on vacation. So, but she helped me.
I was going to ask you, your husband had a daughter?
Has a daughter.
First marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did you get to know her at all? Or?
Well, not too well. Last couple of years, you know, more so, but years ago, in other words, when she got married, maybe 18, 19 years ago, I was invited to the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
But of course she went. And then there was a time after she was married, soon after we went to Portland. And I always resented the fact that, well, because she didn't ride. And one time we went there to pick up the little boy, to take him out, but I stayed in the car. She didn't say that she didn't want me, but I just felt I just didn't want to go in. And maybe the last 8 or 9 years, I got to know her, and I really got to know her better, of course, this time.
Mm-hmm.
Really got to know her.
So before that, then you didn't
meet? Oh, no, just when we'd go over there, they never. She came down here a few years back and with her two little kids, and she was very, she neglected them, in fact, very badly. And at the end of the week, she said, I told her, but at the end of the week, we couldn't stand the way she was neglecting the kids. It was a rainy season, and so we were both working outside, so anyhow, he asked her to leave, but my husband and I decided that so he gave her money for a new tie that she needed and money that she asked for, and she went up to see a friend, and she was the kind that didn't get mad, but I found out later on, because she made a couple of remarks when we visited there, just came out, and this time when she was here, we really talked. And she said, I never talked to you or my dad, especially you, after what? And she said, you didn't realize how broke I was and all that. I said, well, and her little boy died. She neglected him a few months later. And after my husband couldn't stand that he didn't kick her out of the street. She just left 1, 2, 3, and come visited with a friend, so she, we just asked her to leave sooner than she probably planned, and she didn't, she wanted the $30. She said she had money, but she told me that she was broke and she didn't have nothing. She didn't know how she got there, and we said, well, I said, well, Johnny gave you what you asked for, and we didn't have that much either, and I said, no, so I said, now you hear my story side. I said, I don't mean that you were absolutely wrong. I said, but this is what we, how we felt, and maybe if we had to do it all again, it'd be different. However, she held the grudge. We didn't realize that she was holding, Johnny, my husband did not ever realize that she held the grudge, because she never said. And when we were visiting up there, while I was there, she made some remark, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. And this time, when he was sick, before he died, he talked because he didn't hear us.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't show her grudge the last couple of years. And so I really got closer this time.
In general, how do you feel about your life up to now, looking back?
It's an awfully hard question. Well, you know, if you would have asked me this even a year ago, it wouldn't be like this. The answer today, though, would be similar, because I don't know. I mean, how, if I had my life to do over again, would I do this different and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose, yeah, it's a lot of things. You know. And I'm a little scared about the future because I'm alone. As far as looking back, you know, I did a lot of things I probably shouldn't have done. Crazy. When I say crazy, maybe I didn't always make the right decision. But see, I always find out things always work out. Not the best way, but they work out. The things that you worry about the most are the things that are easier to, results are not as bad as you thought they would be. Or hard, or something like that. Well, I think sometimes maybe I should have had more ambition. I think you read the paper every day. You read about how people get started and what they were doing. And you see, I always wonder, why didn't I have more ambition? Then I try to look at my good qualities. But I feel too that you really are alone. You know. You're really alone. You get your friends call. And even before this, but even after this, which I expected, I read that you're going to get cards and people are going to call you, but it's not going to last. And that's when the letdown is. But I don't feel let down because that's what I expected from the beginning. In fact, I'm surprised that people wrote and called as much as they did. But you're alone. You're very alone because people are. I know a lot of people that come on over this and that. I'm not the kind that goes over. You know, mm-hmm. I don't mean that I need a special invitation. If I drop by, it's because for a simple reason, and go right out. I got a little friendly with my neighbor. That way, I don't know how old she is, hard to tell. Maybe she's older. She's been a widow for 18 years, so we don't talk about that, being a widow. We don't go around talking about a widow, this and that. But it has come out, and somehow I have that in common with her. We don't socialize. A woman across the way, she was over yesterday, she and her husband. Very nice. My husband, once in a while, would get into a little problem, and mechanically, he'd call him over. But I don't, she said, anything we can do for you, but I don't believe in asking couples, a man to do this and that to me. Whether they would or not, I don't know. So people are sometimes on the phone and they mean it, anything we can do for you, fine. And but you see, I probably have been the same way to other people.